Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When you're down and troubled.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Trent Anderson is our guest and our new friend. He's Vice President for Education at Cablevision Incorporated, where he oversees the Power to Learn initiative. He and his co-author, Seppi Basile, have written a book, and this is a monster book, folks. I got tendonitis lifting the thing. The Unofficial Biased Guide to the 328 Most Interesting Colleges by Trent Anderson and Seppi Basile. Trent, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you, and no offense, but I really was hoping Seppi could join us today because I've never interviewed anybody named Seppi, and I've always wanted that.
I can do voices if you'd like.
That would be great. Yeah, a little bit later on, we'll get you to do that. But tell Seppi we missed him, if for no other reason than I'd get to say his name. Okay, now, this is the biased guide, the unofficial biased guide, to 328 of the most interesting colleges and universities in America. And I'll say the actual name in a minute, folks, the real name. It's pretty close to what I just said. Why is it a biased guide?
Well, Seppi and I have been friends and working together on various college projects for over a decade. And periodically through the years, we talk with parents or students about how to go about the process of choosing a school. And invariably, people always brought to us some type of, you know, objective list that was some type of ranking based on some type of criteria.
Boring.
Yeah, not only boring, but every single one of them rehashes the same list of 100 schools.
Yeah, these are obviously academics who are doing this, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, either that or magazine publishers
who are
their biggest selling guide of the year. I mean, they make a massive amount of money. Mm-hmm. In telling people, oh, this is the official ranking.
But what's the fun in that, huh?
Well, I mean, it's a great business for them. Seppi and my concern was it's doing a disservice to the people who are spending that money, thinking that they're getting something unique or interesting or valuable. At best, any type of ranking is one piece of information. And so what Seppi and I hoped to do, if nothing else, maybe we could sell a few books, but the point was to try to help students and parents recognize that there are so many more factors that go into choosing a school than simply looking at some type of ranking, and that schools they may never have considered could be absolutely great fits for them, and schools that were dream schools for them may not, because they don't fully understand what's going on at that program.
Well, they've got a list here for the hot and trendy schools, folks, the best values, the hidden treasures, the Animal House party schools, the revenge of the nerd schools, I love that one, the Peter Pan schools, the outside of the box schools, the drug alcohol free schools. I mean, who would want to go there? I have valedictorian's choice, on and on. There are all these lists, and then of course each school has its own two pages of listing with all kinds of information about the classroom, the campus environment, student life. This is a great publication.
Thank you. We have a staff of people who collects information, and what we like about love about our book a lot is that we're not just relying on information that comes from the school, what the GPA or SAT score, ACT score of a school was. We ask guidance counselors, the people who see the seniors going to college every year. We talk to students who are at the campus. We talk to recent alumni. We do talk to the administrators, the faculty on campus. We visit the school's websites. Often Seppi and I have visited the campuses or people we're working with have visited the campuses. We want to bring as many different perspectives and quotes to the search process as we can. In addition to the guides that are just, you know, based on these objective criteria, here are the best schools, there are also those guides out there that are just the information. You know, we interview just students to get this information. Seppi, in my perspective, is that at best, that's one-dimensional. You're getting one perspective on a school when there are many. And our hope is that for every campus, it's fun to read, you get some valuable information, and you realize, okay, what other questions do I need to ask?
Right. Yeah, and I you know, I got into it a little bit just looking around at some of the colleges I've known about over the years, and now I know you're a Southern California boy, and I think Giuseppe may be. So is this a Left Coast centric book?
Not at all. Although we did try to overcome an East Coast bias. If you look at most lists, they're very East Coast.
It's heavy on the right, isn't it?
Yeah. It is very heavy on the right coast. And what we have tried to do is balance it. For instance, Seppi went to Kenyon College in Ohio as an undergrad.
Uh-huh.
My sister went to Kent University in Ohio. I am very much Southern California. I went to UCLA as an undergrad, went to USC for law school and business school, live in New York City now. But we've done a lot. Both Seppi and I have traveled extensively, and we wanted to make sure that people got a feel for schools all over, because in our experience, most people still go to school within about 50 miles of where they grow up.
It's the one they know how to get to.
Exactly. It's
yeah,
far
that's,
enough.
Hey, that's exactly what happened to me. I went to the school I knew how to get to.
You want it to be far enough away that your parents can't bug you all the time, but close enough you can go home to do laundry.
No, when I left, they wouldn't let me come back. Okay, what about you write it in your book about the schools that show you the money. Now, that's the Jerry Maguire syndrome here. How do they do that? Are these scholarships?
Yes, and people should realize in evaluating colleges, one, cost is a factor. It depends on what you want to do. If you plan, for instance, to go to medical school, and you know you're going to spend 4 years and take out debt to become a doctor, going to a private school for undergrad where you're racking up 100, 120 grand in loans prior to going to medical school may not be the best idea. So I'm always an advocate of you got to think about finances. For most students, they're going to end up borrowing some type of money. There is free money out there, and it's based on athletic prowess. It's based on academic prowess. It's based on financial
leadership,
need.
Leadership, that kind of
leadership, those types of things. And we have included in the book not specific scholarships, because there are great resources out there to find them, but campuses where there's a very high percentage of students who are receiving some type of aid. And that number is valuable because it tells you how involved the administration is in helping you pay for college.
Hold on, Trip. We've got to go to a break. But before we do, I want to get this title out. Folks, it's the Unofficial Biased Guide to the 328 Most Interesting Colleges. That's the title, by Trent Anderson and Seppi Basile. I'm sure it's available wherever books are sold, right, Trent?
Oh, definitely.
Quick break. We'll be right back. We've got more to come with Trent Anderson. We're going to find out about which are the best, the big schools or the little schools. Stay with us. We're back, 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Trent Anderson is our guest. He's a co-author of a book called The Unofficial Biased Guide to the 328 Most Interesting Colleges. He and Seppi Basile have written this book. And what is this, the first edition?
No, this is our third edition together.
Okay. But what I have in my hand, folks, is the 2004 edition, and so they can get that wherever books are sold. Do you want to send them to a website or anything, Trent?
Certainly. It's also available at CapTest, CapTest.com.
Okay, and I've forgotten the price. What is the price on it?
Well, the MSRP is $20.
$20?
It's a bargain.
For this phone book, this thing is huge. this is an 8-pound book, folks. But I mean, maybe you can get a discount at some of these places. So check it out when you get a chance. That's a real value, no kidding. Okay, are big schools or small schools the winners?
You know, it depends, and it's funny who you talk to. Seppi went to Kenyon in Ohio, small school. I went to UCLA, huge school. You ask both of us, and we would have done exactly the opposite if we were to do it again.
Wow.
I say my wife went to Amherst, small school in the Northeast.
Beautiful little school.
Oh, yeah. And I listened to her talk. She learned something. I mean, it's amazing what, what she learned, the depth of her education.
Well, in the small schools, the professors actually teach.
Yeah, it is. I had TAs. Yeah. I remember classes where I had 500 people in a lecture hall. And it really depends on what you feel comfortable in, what you're looking for as an experience. UCLA, or a big school, can be great for such things as athletics. It was in terms of being a part of the crowd at the Rose Bowl, or watching a basketball game at Pauley Pavilion. UCLA, one of the best campuses for that. In terms of the attention that you're talking about, the small feel, I would go to a much smaller program. When I went to graduate school, just by their nature, graduate schools are smaller, and it was a totally different experience. I was no longer just a number on an ID card. The dean knew my name. I knew all of my classmates. And it was a really good experience. For somebody who is uncertain or who needs a little bit of motivation and direction, somebody who's not a self-starter, I tend to recommend the small to medium schools. It really takes somebody who is very self-confident and has a track record in high school and even before that of going out and getting things for themselves.
It really has to do a lot with their vision of the world, doesn't it? I mean, if they view the world sort of close into them, they're going to prefer a smaller school. But if they've got more, if their vision is a little more worldly, they probably can handle the larger environment.
Yeah, and although I have seen that increasingly the small liberal arts colleges have some of the most robust outreach programs,
right,
in terms of exchange programs, for instance, to Europe or South America, or participation in national events. And it's sort of ironic. In some cases, a big school acts like a community unto itself, and people never leave that environment.
Right.
And a small school, just because it's so small, has to be ingrained in the community and reach out beyond it.
Yeah. What about the overrated and underrated schools? So you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, we asked guidance counselors, and this list changes year after year, for schools that they thought just, there's so much hype around them that they're overrated. And it's a totally subjective list, but such classic names as Harvard appear on that list. Or NYU with I think it was Felicity,
right,
ended up going to what was basically NYU on the TV show. They've been inundated with applications, hot and trendy school, but guidance counselors say it's also overrated. It's a private school, you're paying a big tuition. Yes, they have very nice programs.
What's the jewel that you found this year? What school would you consider to be the jewel, the most underrated jewel? We'll turn it around. In this one broadcast, we'll change all that. But what is the little sleeper that you found out there?
Well, some of my favorite schools are the quirky ones. I love College of the Ozarks. for no other reason than if it's a good fit for you, it's an amazing program. It's free. You work 15 hours a week for 4 years. If you want a small Christian environment, it's a great program.
Yeah.
Or I like Cooper Union in New York City, which is an engineering school. And that tuition is free. Culinary Institute of America. These are specialty schools. But then I also like some of the smaller liberal arts schools because so often it's hard to find less competitive colleges that still have really great reputations. So
right.
Mount St. Mary's in California. Tuskegee.
Tuskegee in Tuskegee, Alabama?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got just a couple of seconds. What's the best college town?
I would say either Austin.
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas, or Gainesville, Florida.
Gainesville, Florida.
Right now.
That's a great... I know the second one. That's a good one. Trent Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called The Unofficial Bias Guide to the 328 Most Interesting Colleges. Wherever books are sold, give us that other website, too, please.
CapTest, CAPTEST.com.
Thanks, Trent. See you later.
Thank you.
Good job today.
Okay, bye,
Quick
Jim.
Break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Sam Norwood. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.